ask you this. Let me ask you this.
What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Sports Central. Chicago Sports Conversation with Adam Hogue.
Go, go, go.
This is Sports Central. On demand and streaming live on WGNRadio.com.
What's going on? This is Sports Central, Friday, February 9th, 2018. Mark Harmon is here with me, Adam Hogue. What's going on? Happy Friday, buddy.
First time in studio with you. Congrats on the new show in person. Great to be here. Love a good snow day.
Yeah, I was originally not going to come downtown for the show.
Soft.
Exactly. No, I was having. I was sitting there and I was going, that's kind of soft. The roads really aren't that bad. Can we? I don't want to be like old man guy who never got a day off of school back in my St. Ignatius days, but like school was canceled today?
Yeah, I mean,
kind of weak.
I completely agree. We have, as a Chicagoan society, if that is a term, come on, man. This is nothing. I'm looking out the window. It's snowing. Michigan Avenue, no problem. You can get where you need to go. It's just a soft move. I love it.
I got down here faster today than any other day this week.
Yeah, it was great.
And that's not that's true.
I went to the United Center all on my own because I wanted to see
literally all on your own.
Yeah,
well, no one else was there.
I got there because I checked in the morning because they do these things before Bulls and games and it's shoot around, and so Minnesota's in town, so I wanted to go see Tibbs and Jimmy and whoever else and see what's up. And I didn't check my email at 9:45 when the email came in for a 10 o'clock shoot around. And I got to UC, and there's no lights on. Apparently, the Minnesota Timberwolves, you can't get on a bus in this weather and get over to the United Center.
You would think a team led by Tom Thibodeau would have no days off.
Right. I mean, I would think they would have walked there if the bus wouldn't take them. Let's go.
Wait, you said the lights were off? They wouldn't even let the press who didn't read the email go in there and get a few shots off?
No. They let me in. And then I got down there. I'm like, there's no one here. There's no lights on.
You could have shot around yourself.
I saw John Ligomanowski, the great equipment manager of the Chicago Bulls. He looked at me. He's like, yeah, you don't belong here right now. And by the way, the game's at 8:30 tonight. Reminder, Bulls and Timberwolves, 8:30 tip tonight. A little late one.
Little late one. Is that because of TNT or ESPN?
It's a TNT thing, I guess.
Yeah. By the way, phone number 312-235-2525. And that is our top story today as we jump right into our lead.
Minnesota got a great player in this deal, but we've defined our direction, and we've sat here for, you know, we made the playoffs 9 out of 10 years, wasn't good enough, and we have to now reset what we're about.
That was John Paxson last summer when the Jimmy Butler trade was made. I think that this day of the T-Wolves coming back, here in Chicago with Tom Thibodeau, with Jimmy Butler, with Taj Gibson, is a good day to just reflect on how things have played out in the last, 7 months now? Both teams are looking pretty good. I mean, this is, and I talked to Paul Allen last week, a K-fan up in Minnesota when we were there for the Super Bowl, and he loves Jimmy Butler. I mean, they love Jimmy Butler up there. And it seems like most people here in Chicago are happy with this side of the deal, too. It's still pretty early, but this might actually be one of those trades that actually works for both teams.
Well, right now, the Timberwolves are thrilled, the Bulls are thrilled, so it is a win-win. The Bulls are going to win this deal.
Long-term?
The Minnesota Timberwolves, at the end of next season, they got to decide, are we paying Jimmy Butler 5 years and 200-some-odd million dollars, whatever the number is going to be? It's a crazy figure as he's entering the back end of his prime. That's a really tough decision. Maybe they do it. I think they will.
If they don't, he's probably going to be playing in L.A. with LeBron.
Right, and that's the other thing, by the way. Jimmy might not want to stay. Maybe he's had enough of living in freezing Minnesota and playing for Tibbs and wants to go out to Hollywood.
He lives there in the offseason, I believe.
In Minnesota or
LA? In L.A.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
So maybe he goes out and who knows what happens with the Lakers this offseason. Maybe they get LeBron and Paul George. Maybe they don't. If they don't, they'll have a ton of money the next season. So it could be Jimmy's spot to go and play for L.A. Seems like something he might do. The Bulls, you've got Lauri Markkanen on a team-friendly deal for 3 more years, and you've got Chris Dunn, who's looking more and more like a player every day, and the concussion actually works out for them because they wanted to lose games, and that's happening, so it's like a nice break in the season.
As long as he comes back on the same track he had been on.
Right. I mean,
from just the Chris Dunn perspective of this trade,
yeah,
this is best-case scenario. I mean, the concussion obviously was too bad, but for throwing that aside, just, you know, there was really no evidence from his rookie year that he was going to be anything. The Bulls really, that was the part of that deal where they were really taking a chance and hoping that the change of scenery and the new system and getting away from Tom Thibodeau, who just didn't want to play him, right, was going to work out. And he's proven to be pretty good player.
Yeah, and unique too. It's the fact that he's 6'4", that athletic, plays both ends of the court. Most point guard guys nowadays are playing one end. They're scoring a ton. Kemba Walker, Damian Lillard, Steph Curry, whoever you want to name. I'm not saying he's on that level, but here's a guy who can impact the game on the defensive end of the court. He can, and he's turning into their go-to scorer. I actually think the interesting thing for the Bulls is you got to sign Zach LaVine. They have to make that decision probably this offseason. And you're talking about a guy who's coming off an ACL tear. So the franchise got disabled when they gave Derek the money that he deserved, and then he went out and got hurt. Guys who have an ACL tear, a lot of times they tear it again. Look at Jabari Parker in Minnesota. You pay a guy premium dollars, which is what they're going to have to do with Zach LaVine, you know, $25 million a year, and he gets hurt again, you got a problem. So you are making a huge investment in a guy who's got an ACL tear, which is, I think, part of the reason that Minnesota did the deal.
Yeah. Well, I think that was clearly the reason why Tom Thibodeau was willing to get rid of LaVine, who he didn't want to trade 6 months prior.
In my understanding, too, on Tibbs' side of it, they liked Lauri Markkanen. They thought the Bulls made a great pick when, you know, they said, yeah, we're going to go with the Arizona freshman kid who a lot of people don't know a lot about, but could be the best player in the draft.
I mean, I loved the pick at the time.
Yeah,
I saw Arizona play enough times last year that he always stood out to me. Did I think he was going to be this good this early and blow away that record for most three-pointers by a rookie? No.
I had no idea who he was. But when you hear so many people say this dude's the real deal, like you who watch, I'm like, oh, I think the Bulls got a good one here. Like, I'd make the deal, Jimmy, for Markkanen straight up. I'd almost make that deal.
Okay.
No? It's all about the money in the NBA. Like, I don't know if you have to fix it, fit everything into the cap, or else you're paying luxury taxes and all this stuff. Like, in the Bulls timeline, you keep Jimmy, you're paying him $40 million bucks. I just wouldn't do it. I'd rather have a young Lauri, and there's a lot of miles on that, on Jimmy's tires, right?
If it's all about the money, then why is it even a question about what's happening with LaVine? Like, if he's asking for anywhere close to, like, max dollars, even before the injury, was he a guy that was ascending to be like a second banana in a championship team?
See, I think the best case scenario with him was kind of Jimmy Butler, right? Kind of that, not quite top tier of players in the league, but pretty damn good.
Yeah, I mean, he's an elite athlete. He is a pretty damn good shooter. Doesn't play D. Now, yeah. From what I can tell, it seems to me that he's making a larger commitment to that end of the court. He's certainly athletic enough to do it. But he's also a guy that you can have the ball in his hand, create for himself. And he was playing point at least half the time early in his career. Still early in his career. He's 22. So he's a pretty versatile guy. And that dunk that he had, what was it, the other night in Sacramento? That was...
We played it. We played the Stacey King call.
Right?
It was... I love the call. Stacey, I love the dunk, love the call.
Stacey went a little over the top, but God bless him. That was awesome.
It was deserved.
It was. So you got a guy who can hammer it down at the rim, and he can shoot the three and can get in the lane. It's pretty... That's a dynamic character. But again...
I like all three pieces in the trade. And Jimmy had to go.
If you had to rank the pieces, what order would you go?
Rank the pieces. Probably Markkanen.
It's got to be one, right?
LaVine, Dunn.
Okay, see, I would go Markkanen, Dunn, LaVine.
But is that just because you haven't seen enough of LaVine yet?
Possibly, but it's also...
He's been a little streaky.
It's also that I love guys who play both ends.
Yeah, I get that.
And so, Chris Dunn to me, and you look at his shoulders, I don't want to get
How's
too...
How is Markkanen's defense?
Not good, but I look at Markkanen, like, you are an elite offensive talent. Step out to the three, driving
down. He can drive, I love it.
Yeah, so, and you're 6'10".
Finishes strong.
Like, that's a unique dude. Not a lot of him running around.
Very few rookies jump into the league and look like they belong like he does so far.
Right.
It's impressive.
And point guards in the NBA, I mean, you got to be really, 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 really good to separate yourself. I mean, that is, I mean, where's Chris Dunn? 20?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's got a ways to go. I still like him more than I like LaVine just because I think he brings a more complete game to the table.
We have that dunk from the other night, Zach LaVine.
Mm-hmm. LaVine, he goes right.
Oh! Stop it, Samson! Did you not get the memo? My goodness, watch this. Oh, why, Samson? Why?
And then committed the foul.
I think he didn't remember Zach LaVine was a dunk contest winner. Look at Samson. Samson's upset. You know you get dunked on, you want to push somebody. Yeah, you were late getting over there, but early for a poster. Where's my poster machine?
What's the chance that Stacey King did not know Samson's first name? Do you know Samson's first name? Because I just looked it up. I didn't know it.
Kelvin Samson?
Yeah, Jakar Samson. The fact that he just kept hammering Samson. You didn't know his name, Stacey. You were just looking at his jersey.
So what?
Which is fine. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, although, I mean, you are an NBA color commentator. You should know Jakar Samson's name. But he just kept... Yeah. It doesn't matter. Mediocre job performance. Like Stacey, I'm just pointing out that, you know.
Okay.
KYP.
I don't want to go.
Know your personnel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's fair. That's fair.
And I don't want to dog Stacey because Stacey's entertaining, but I think Stacey's work ethic, we can question that from his career on the court and perhaps off the court. Right? I mean, is that not true? I don't want to be rude to Stacey and all, but, like, you know, he's always out of shape. Do you remember that story? Is this too hard to go on Stacey King right now?
No, it's not. It just, I mean, the conversation took a turn.
It did.
Okay with it, but
okay.
Oh, finish your thought.
I just want to point out that in those Jordan rules, there was one part where Stacey was giving this whole lecture about nutrition, and then the next thing he did was go out and just get like a huge bag of Doritos and start mowing down.
Oh, I did that the other day. I love Doritos.
It's a good chip. Good choice.
I went spicy nacho.
That's a nice choice.
Tasted
too.
Great.
That's a nice
choice.
Yeah,
big fan.
Yeah.
All right, my bad. Sorry about the directional turn.
What are we looking for tonight? By the way, Chris Dunn's not back, right?
No, he's not. No.
So we have to endure more Jerry and Grant.
Who they tried to trade, nobody wanted him. That's not
Why
a
did
big
they
surprise.
Trade Robin Lopez?
It's a good question. Reading what Pax is saying, I think it's because they want some veteran presence to sort of guide the team. Him and Justin Holiday are both guys that are going to work no matter what's going on, so they like having that around. I'm guessing also that nobody wanted to give the Bulls a first-round pick for either of them, so why would I trade Robin Lopez for a second-round pick? Same thing with Justin Holiday.
They just, like, totally don't value second-round picks.
I mean, why would you, right?
Draymond Green?
Yeah, but...
Worth the chance. Unlikely, I get it. Almost never works out.
They're also, like, really good players if you're trying to lose. Like, Robin Lopez is just good enough for you to be competitive and lose. Same thing with Justin Holiday. He'll get hot, but he's never going to do anything for you. I like both those guys. Robin Lopez, after every game, wears a Seattle Mariners hat. You got to appreciate that. So
why?
I don't know. I'll ask him. I will find that out today.
That's a question I want answered.
Yeah, I'm interested tonight, to your question, is that a standing O for Jimmy when he gets introduced? I mean, if you're at the game, are you giving...
Should be. Why wouldn't it be?
I don't know. I feel, like, conflicted. Like
the only thing... Well, there's a couple things with Jimmy that did rub me the wrong way. I didn't like when he called out Hoiberg. Coach Harder...
Bad look.
Did not like that at all.
Nope.
Did not think that was good leadership. Wasn't a fan of that one.
Didn't like how he brawled with how he didn't get along with Rose and Noah. I wouldn't like to me. Jimmy's not like a beloved figure.
No, he's not.
I mean, like, Jimmy. Okay.
Pretty solid player though. For
like Scottie Pippen gets introduced at the. That's way too tall.
Taj will get a louder ovation.
Now, that's a great, like, who do you give a loud, like...
He will get it.
Like, Taj was awesome.
Yeah.
Taj was a great Bull, never did anything wrong, always worked hard. Jimmy, way better player.
Taj is pretty good. Where are the T-Wolves right now? Like, why, do they have... They're obviously, they took the step forward they wanted to this year.
Yeah, I mean...
But what about the long-term plan? Like, are they really on a can challenge the Warriors somewhat soon,
right,
type of trajectory?
I don't think so.
Once Rose signs, how many championships do they win?
Great question. I mean, they're first in the Northwest Division. You got to love NBA divisions. I'm staring at the standings right now at 34 and 23.
I couldn't tell you, other than the Bulls division, like, I could not tell you the divisions.
Yeah, me
they
either.
Just don't, because they don't matter.
At all.
It's like, why do you even have them?
Northwest, Southwest, Pacific, Southeast. Okay. Yeah. No, nobody cares about any of that. But I, you know, if I look at the West right now, Golden State's by far one, and then you've got the Rockets right there, and then who? But I actually think that Oklahoma City has the best chance of taking out Golden State of anybody in the Western Conference. I don't necessarily think they're the second best team, but I think they match up the best with them. The
Rockets have already beaten them twice this year.
Yeah, so is Oklahoma City, and they cracked them.
Okay.
They cracked them. And so you're talking about Paul George matching up with Kevin Durant. Nobody else is going to throw that at him. So
we're looking like Warriors, T-Wolves in the second round?
Right.
And it's probably a sweep.
Sayonara, if they get through the first round. And then it's the same thing next year, and then you got to pay Jimmy, and I don't really like the position for Minnesota, but they haven't been in the playoffs for, I think it's 13 years.
So you'd rather be the Bulls right now than the T-Wolves?
Yep. Yes, I would. Although, I might have to walk that back. I mean, you got Carl Anthony Towns, you got Andrew Wiggins, you got a pretty good team over there. But if we're talking about, like, if I had to bet who's more likely to win a title in the next 5 years, the Bulls or the Timberwolves, I'd have to say the Bulls. And that's crazy, but I think that's what I would say.
All right, Mark Carman's here for the whole hour, but coming up next, we are going to bring back a conversation from the Steve Cochran Show a couple days ago, actually, but Mike Adamley, the great Northwestern Wildcat, former Bear, longtime sportscaster here in Chicago, who is now dealing with dementia, and they're 99% sure he has CTE. Obviously, you can't diagnose that till you're gone. But he pretty much, the doctors have said, dude, this is what you got. And it's a pretty remarkable story since the diagnosis, the success that he's been having just with his life and continuing to live as healthy as possible. So he was on the Steve Cochran Show. Great cause, he and his wife. And we'll take a quick break here. Bring that back for you, though. It's a must-listen conversation with Mike Adamley. We'll be right back on Sports Central.
All right, let's continue this love fest.
There it is.
It's Sports Central with Adam Hogue.
No big deal.
On demand and in real time on WGNRadio.com.
And if you miss anything from Sports Central, you can go back and listen to it on iTunes, the Google Play app, TuneIn, or on WGNRadio.com or our WGN Radio app. Pretty much anywhere you listen to your podcast, just search WGN Sports Central, and you can find us there. By the way, great interview with Pat Fitzgerald yesterday. That's worth going back and listening to if you missed that.
And if you don't go back and listen to it there, we'll play it tomorrow on the beat sometime between 4 and 7.
At least parts of it.
On WGN, yes.
Mark Carman, Harry Tynowitz hosting the beat on Saturday. So, Mike Adamley, who, man, 95% of the people listening to this have to know who Mike Adamley is. One of the best Northwestern Wildcats ever. Played for the Chicago Bears. Been a sportscaster here forever. A couple of years ago came out and said he's dealing with dementia. And he and his wife have been attacking this head on, both in terms of his own health, but also giving back to others who have dealt with head injuries. And it's not just football players, by the way. Veterans, too. They're doing a tremendous job and actually seeing progress with Mike, too. This is a must-listen conversation from a football CTE standpoint, a human standpoint. It was Steve on the Steve Cochran Show the other day, right here on WGN, and here is the conversation with Mike Adamley.
Happy to welcome Kim and Mike Adamley to the studio. You both look fantastic.
Thank you.
I'm telling you right now.
Yeah, better to look fantastic than to feel.
No, it's the other way around now. It's better to feel better. Kim, I want to start with the plug right away because I want to make sure people know what's coming up in relation to the foundation and this fundraiser. So where are you going? What are you doing?
Where are we going? What are we doing? We are all over the place. This is people are coming out from everywhere telling us their stories. Our next big event is March 1st. We have our launch reception. It's going to be a big to-do at the National Italian American Sports Hall of Fame. And so we look forward to a...
Probably pretty good food there, I'm thinking.
Oh, fantastic yeah. food. The best.
Yeah. Yeah. And tickets and sponsorship information, best place to go is which website?
MikeAdamley.org.
You guys announced this as part of the Concussion Legacy Project the other day. Was it Megan Kelly? Is that where
yes.
you were? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And Mike, I said to you off the air, is somebody that you know, I consider you a pal for years. I just hate that you're going through this, which is obvious. And the first thing you said to me was, well, there are a lot of guys a lot worse off than I am. So
yeah.
just God bless you for fighting the fight.
Yeah, some of the guys, when this thing was first diagnosed, I received hundreds of calls, and a lot of them from, you know, old NFL days and college days. I think the best call I got, well, I got Joe Namath, he was one of them, and Bob Trumpy and all these people.
How about that?
You know.
What's your favorite one?
Keith Van Horn, you know, the mm-hmm. old Bears. And
what was your favorite one?
A 90-year-old lady, and she said, Mike? I said, yeah. She said, Mike, this is Phyllis Stram, Hank Stram's widow.
Oh, you're kidding.
She said, I've been thinking about you, and I'm praying for you. And
that's great.
And she said, you know, you were Hank's favorite player. And I said, how's that? He said, you used to drive him crazy, but he loved you.
That's nice.
And I've called her like once a month, and she's still sharp as
all that's great. Yeah.
And one of the things that happens is, and it's a symptom, and it's, you know, everybody is, you're riding along pretty well, and then all of a sudden there's a little lapse, and it's real easy to get sorry for yourself and want to just hide in a corner. And I think so many players, because they're not what they used to be, they don't want any part of life, even sometimes.
And that makes everything worse.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I was telling you, it's like Douglas MacArthur's famous line, you know, old soldiers never die, they just fade away. And
yeah, when you're a big, tough...
you feel like fading
sure.
away.
And when you're a big, tough NFL player, the last thing you want to do is admit any sort of vulnerability
right.
or weakness.
Exactly.
When there's nothing wrong for asking for help and needing help. And that's what you guys want to do with the Mike Adamley Project, Rise Above. This Concussion Legacy Foundation is great, but we need to raise money in every possible way. So the singular goal of the Mike Adamley Project, Rise Above, is what, Kim?
To give hope. There's so many people out there. You know, there's a lot of publicity with the NFL players and other now sports players. But what's remarkable is that every time Mike has told his story, we have just been flooded with messages and stories from people, everyday people, who are going through the same thing and didn't know what was going on. They didn't know who to turn to for help, what to do. And when they heard Mike's story, they said, oh, this is what's going on. And they write and they tell us our stories. And so this is what we're hoping to do, is to reach out, give them, we're lucky, we're fortunate, because we have access to top doctors, to the resources.
Yeah, not everybody does. Not just because you played does. In the NFL doesn't mean you retired loaded and know everybody.
Oh, no.
It doesn't work that way. And you speak for a second about the spouses piece of this, because the family, you know, there's unbelievable stress on you guys.
It isn't just the player.
Yeah.
The player doesn't live in a vacuum. The family is affected in all ways, because the CTE and this type of brain damage, it isn't just memory. It isn't just forgetfulness. It's their mood, their
sure.
rages, their executive functioning, which is their ability to make decisions.
Sure.
They're impulsive. And so the family is affected in traumatic ways, big ways. A common pattern that families experience are financial loss, big financial loss, many bankruptcies, foreclosure in homes, divorce. The divorce rate in the NFL is 71%.
Is that right?
Wow.
In the general public, it's 51%. Now, Mike and I actually did divorce. And then we knew something was going on, but as we separated and divorced, and as we found out more and we lived with it, we still, the love wasn't gone. It's just what our lives were torn apart.
Sure.
But we remarried, and we're not the only ones. Where we've gotten a lot of our information is from a wives group, a secret wives group, that there's 2,500 of us, and it's the wives who have been networking, sharing stories.
That's the power. That's the energy of this.
You bet.
Yeah.
You raise hope, as you said, but I think awareness, too, for a lot of people who aren't affair or aren't directly affair. I've learned so much in the past couple of months just about the illness and what goes on, and I'm sure it affects your children as well.
It does, because the children live through, they see their father losing control in a lot of ways. They see the rages. They experience the instability. That has profound effects on a child's well-being and on their development. So that's the other thing that we do, is not just reach out to the affected survivor, but you have to also support the wife or husband who's the caretaker, and then we have to support and understand what the children are going through. It's a multifaceted approach.
And that's why it needs funding, and it needs it now. I could go off on a tangent here about what the NFL hasn't done. There's legal action that's going on. I know Bill has become a big part of your life to push this forward legally. But I want to talk to you, Mike, when we come back a little bit about that, because it seems to me no big corporation wants to admit liability for anything, slipping and falling or anything. But there is a way to support the people that built the game and the heroes of yesterday without bankrupting the company, and shame on them for not stepping up. So more on that in just a second. Mike Adamly is here, and Kim is here, and it's the Mike Adamly Project Rise Above, March 1st, 6 to 9, National Italian Sports Hall of Fame and Grand Piazza Ballroom on Taylor Street. Where else would it be?
Right.
And get your information and tickets and everything else you need by going to the website, MikeAdamly.org, right? That's the best show. That's right. Mike, when did you know you were in trouble? I mean, when did it finally, you know, go from I'm concerned about this to there's a problem here?
In 1999, I was on the air at NBC, and I was just doing a, you know, routine sportscast. You know, tonight, Bulls beat the Trailblazers 96-90. Michael had 23 points. And while that was happening, it's like I had on the other side of this conversation I was having with the audience at home, I felt like this freaking tidal wave was coming towards me, and inside I was going, "Holy God, what's going on?" And finally I got done. Thankfully, I was about 15 away, seconds away from done.
From wrapping,
done.
Yeah.
And then, with the sports cast.
Yeah, so we got it. No worries.
Okay.
That's what the delay is for. Yeah.
My shirt was dripping wet. I go, "Holy cow." And bottom line is I went over to Northwestern Hospital and was diagnosed by a guy named Richard Rovner, who's since passed away. But he was the preeminent neurosurgeon or neurologist in the city.
And this is before we called it CTE, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And he said, "You have a smudge on your left temporal hemisphere that was probably caused by..." Pretty sure it's caused by, you know, playing football.
Repetitive head trauma.
Yeah.
It was a lesion.
That was like it was a lesion. Yeah, that's what it is. I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say, so you fast forward to all the news that's come out. We have this amazing facility in Boston where brains are donated. There's no question CTE exists. Okay, let's put that on the shelf. We know it exists. There's efforts going forward to try to deal with it. There's talk about whether a kid should play football. There's the Durison Act here in Illinois. All of those things are positives. But you guys were talking off the air a moment ago. We got guys coming home from war that aren't being taken care of. We got firefighters. We got policemen. We got people that have suffered repetitive head trauma again and again and again. And your dream, the two of you, is to help everybody, right?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. It's just remarkable, the stories that we hear from people, the heartbreaking stories. Parents, here's the other thing. Parents are writing into us because their teens or their adult children in their young 20s are experiencing these types of symptoms that we're seeing.
And
the reason is because kids started playing soccer at 4, and I know my older kids, they started at 4. They were still doing heading.
Sure.
And we start them in middle school and football and wrestling and all these sports. And what the research has shown of the brains is that the younger they start, because it's not just the concussions, it's all the sub-concussion impacts.
Well, the brain, when you get a concussion, the brain swells. It's a bruise, and the brain swells. And before the brain is able to get back to normal and recover, you're back in and you get hit again.
Well, what's amazing about the brain, it's like a bowl of jelly in a bowl that's too big, and it sloshes around. So it isn't just the concussion that causes a major brain trauma. But all the smaller ones are also breaking those axons, which connect the neurons. Mm-hmm. And that's what causes the tau proteins to break, become tangled, kill cells, tangle up like a snowball, and gradually start sifting through the brain.
So you get those lesions, that scar tissue.
Yeah,
that,
and it starts sifting through the brain, awful, killing every cell it comes in contact with.
Dave?
Kim, did you ever think you'd know this much about concussions?
Yeah, there's an education
the
you didn't ask for, right?
Well, it's kind of ironic. Mike and I kind of have a bigger perspective on life, and it's kind of more than ironic that everything in our lives that we've done are now culminating in this. My background is as a cognitive and learning psychologist.
How about that?
So I have a little bit of background in this. And then Mike and I, you know, we've been through thick and thin together and always had this great love. We divorced, but we got back together. So it's just
there's a reason for everything.
Yeah, everything you're the, is coming back
you're
together.
The epitome of behind every great man, there's a strong woman there for you. So I guess my question is advice to others going forward, even parents who their little kids want to play football and soccer and wrestle.
That's a good point. Mike, should kids play football?
Here's what I have to say about that. First of all, my dad was an all-pro linebacker, yep, for the Browns, who became the preeminent sports doctor in the state of Ohio. Mm-hmm. And kids who got hurt on Friday night, their coaches would bring them in. They would travel all the way to Kent, and they would want to see my dad because he understood the difference between what was an owie and what was something that was debilitating. Sure. But his thing with me, he said, you know, one, you're not playing preview football because you're not ready for it physically. You're basically, you haven't even reached puberty yet. And then the other thing is, when you do, we want to make sure that you're as, you know, bulletproof as possible. Build up all the, you know, your neck, your thigh, all the place where the power comes from. And will help protect you. He stayed out of my life, but he let me do what I wanted to do. And this is like the million-dollar question you always get all the time. Would you do it all over again if... And... reluctantly, I said, of course, if I knew this thing was going to happen to everybody that actually played the game, I would probably say no. And then within a second of that, I'd say yes, because the greatest thing that ever possibly could have happened to me, in addition to opening doors to, you know, being a sportscaster, yeah, but was the group of friends that Dave knows this. We've got a bunch of 40 guys.
The hard bodies?
The hard bodies. You know, we're not so hard anymore, but we all remember each other and we never forget, and you can't buy that.
No, it's a life that's built based on what you did. Dave, last word.
Okay, and this, maybe we don't have enough time to really get into this, but you are not anti-football. You're a guy who's loved football your whole life. Can the game be saved, Mike? I mean, can it be made safer, I guess is the
short question. Definitely could be, you know, made safer. I mean, Northwestern's doing things with, you know, everybody's trying to, you know, make helmets more perfect, but football's like a physics equation. Mass times acceleration equals, yeah, force. Guys are bigger. Guys are faster. So it stands to reason that, you know,
and guys don't tackle anymore. They run into each other.
Yeah. And somebody from the Ravens about when the last time they were in the Super Bowl was a defensive back, and I don't remember his name, but he was talking to the media one day and somebody asked him about this whole thing. He's about, you know, football, where it's going. He said, you know, I wouldn't be surprised somewhere in the next 25 years where football becomes elite, because they're just so darn, you know, it's just amazing. And going back to, you know, Lance Briggs, for instance,
sure,
you know, he was, you know, one of the best linebackers the Bears have ever had. But in his last couple of years, you know, he lost a step. You lose a step in the game, and it's huge, you know. And he started launching his body so he, yep, could, you know, and that's not good, obviously. So I hope
the game deserves to be saved.
Yeah.
But the safety and stuff we know now that we didn't know before is, I mean, it's really the vital piece of this. Look, you know how much this town loves you. And I know how much, and Dave and Andre know how much you love this town. The fight you two are fighting together is a wonderful thing. And I salute you completely. And I know you're going to keep fighting. And I hate to tell you this because I hate complimenting you, but you just look great. You're just as sexy as ever. And it couldn't be more annoying.
It just couldn't be more annoying how good you look. When I first got the news and they said there's really not much you could do except eat better and do meditation and all that crap, I said, well, I can do that. You know?
Right.
So I would work out every single freaking day for about 5 to 6 hours. I went to practice one day and said, Pat Fitzgerald goes, damn, what are you
doing? I remember people talking about Mike's biking to Utah this afternoon and he's coming back.
I remember one day I was tired and you guys said Mike bikes from Evanston to NBC, I think you were at then. You could buck up and take a bike ride.
But I think that's an important piece because you guys both said this and before we run out of time, listen to your doctors, commit to what's going on, but the depression thing, the hope thing you talked about.
Well, and let me just add something, the good news here. So since Mike found out about this, and we've talked about how, you know, extensively he works out and our, you know, how he eats, we did everything that we could. And guess what? The last 2 years since we started, his brain scans show no brain volume loss.
How about that?
And in the previous 6 years, he had lost 10 to 20% of his brain loss. So that's significant.
That's hope.
The doctors say this is the most that we can hope to do. We can't stop the CTE, but we can promote other brain growth. Keep learning, keep fit, eat well, and stay social, stay connected.
Yep. Talk. Absolutely. Talk. Don't ever hide. God bless you, man. Keep fighting.
Appreciate God.
Great to see you here. Northwestern, the Bears, his bike, Channel 5, Larry Wirt.
Line them up, baby. Yeah, I can't say enough about Larry because he's always had my back.
He's a good friend.
He was a guy who took me to the, you know, the neurologist way back when.
He's a good man. He's a good man.
Yeah, good man.
Good to see you both. Mike, give me the website one more time.
MikeAdamley.org.
And if everybody can make it out, that'd be great. If not, write a check. Donate online.
Couple things from that conversation that stood out. One, him saying that this goes back to 1999. Like, that's the first time he could sense that something was wrong.
It's not yesterday.
And the other, which his wife said right there at the end, is that since they got the diagnosis, realized what was wrong, and could do something about it by just promoting active, healthy, I guess what I would call brain therapy, they've been able to slow it down. Look, the damage is done. You can't reverse the damage. But there's enough stuff out there right now showing that you can at least make the symptoms subside a little bit and slow it down, if that makes sense.
Right. Working out your brain the way you work out your body, that type of stuff.
We talked to Jermichael Finley last week on Radio Row, and he said that 40% of his brain was considered dysfunctional. And same thing, therapy, and that's what he was promoting on Radio Row. I don't have the information in front of me right now, but you can go back and listen to our bonus podcast from last week on Radio Row. And actual brain therapy that, you know, he says has helped him from at least a just enjoying everyday life standpoint. And if these guys are saying it's working, who am I to say that it's not, right?
Yeah, and Jermichael Finley is a guy who had his career cut short, you know, spinal injuries and concussions, the whole thing, and still would play the game of football. I mean, loved being out there. So there, I mean, that discussion's, you know, always a part of this. Yep. So
the timing of this is important too. You know, I'm really glad we got a chance to replay this from Steve Cochran. You know, It's almost difficult to get people to listen about CTE during the season. Like, hey, shut up, the game's on. Like, I just want to focus on football. Mm-hmm. This is a good time to, like, realize that things happen in the game and people just need to be aware of the possibility of brain injuries. And what better time to get into their head about it than when the game isn't on? Like, the longest time between now and the next game is this is the longest period. You know what I'm saying?
Well, this is three people in a week. Jermichael Finley, Merrill Hodge, now Mike Adamley here on this show that they're not only just talking about their own problems, but they're doing something about it, trying to help people. Now, I was very clear, and you can go back and listen to the conversation with Merrill Hodge. He sounded a little delusional when it came to the denying that there's any effect of playing youth football. That's kind of a different conversation, though. And he's still out there trying to help other ex-players that are experiencing similar things. And they're all trying to make the game safer, too, in their own way by looking at these issues.
Well, and you know, you ask different NFL guys, would you go back and do it again? I'd say 90% of them all say yes. Mm-hmm. They loved playing the game. They loved what it taught them. They loved the experience it gave them. They had a ton of fun. They made a lot of money. And it sucks that I'm dealing with X, Y, and Z, physical, mental, CTE, all of it, but I really had a great time.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean...
you heard what Mike said there. He said, you think about saying no, but then right after that, he'd say yes.
Right.
You know, so it's at least creeped into his mind, but the benefits are still there for him, too.
And maybe it's just my jealous, athletic, I wish I did more side, but... I look at it like, come on, man. He got to run out on the field as a Northwestern Wildcat. He got to play in the NFL as a Chicago Bear.
With Walter Payton.
Right. If I was to, would I trade my amazing life for that life? I think I say yes. I have no idea what he's dealing with. I don't know what it's like. But just looking at it from a distance, I'd love to have the experiences that you had. That's amazing. But I get, you know, I mean, I think we all get the other side of it, that it's, you know, no picnic when you're done. You know, Hamp, OB, and Cos walk in here. They don't exactly move particularly well. You know, there's a huge cost to playing the game, mm-hmm. but they loved playing the game.
Yeah.
We're not here for a long time. We're here for a good time.
Well, speaking about having a good time playing the game, that's what the Philadelphia Eagles did this week.
Sure did.
And they had their parade yesterday in Philly. And Jason Kelce gave what I consider the greatest championship parade speech of all time, at least from what I've seen. Now, you can't, this is radio, so you'll be able to hear it and enjoy it, but the video is great too because of what he's wearing. He is like dressed up like a Joker. Like if you look at a Joker card, that's basically what he's dressed up like. I don't know why he was dressed that way, but it added to the speech. But still, the audio of it is tremendous. This is Jason Kelce in Philadelphia at the championship parade yesterday.
I know Lane and Chris just talked about this, but I don't think that it's been beat home enough. Howie Roseman, a few years ago, was relinquished of all control pretty much in this organization. He was put in the side. He was put in the side of the building where I didn't see him for over a year. 2 years ago, when they made a decision, he came out of there a different man. He came out of there with a purpose and a drive to make this possible. And I saw a different Howie Roseman, an underdog, Doug Peterson. When Doug Peterson was hired, he was rated as the worst coaching hire by a lot of freaking analysts out there in the media. This past offseason, some clown named Mike Lombardi told him that he was the least qualified head coach in the NFL. You saw a driven Doug Peterson, a man who went for it on fourth and down. Before he got hurt, he was the best freaking tackle in the NFL. Big B was told he didn't have it. Stephen Wisniewski ain't good enough. Jason Kelce's too small. Late Johnson can't lay off the juice. Brandon Brooks has anxiety. Carson Wentz didn't go to a Division I school. Nick Foles don't got it. Mark Clement's too slow. The airplane ain't got it anymore. Jay and John can't stay healthy. Oh! building for 5 years. It's a quote in the O-line room that has stood on the wall for the last 5 years. Hungry dogs run faster. And that's this team. Bottom line is, we wanted it more. All the players, all the coaches, the front office, Jeffrey Lurie, everybody wanted it more. And that's why we're up here today, and that's why we're the first team in Eagles history to hold that freaking trophy. And you know who the biggest underdog is? It's y'all, Philadelphia. For 52 years, y'all have been waiting for this. You want to talk about underdog? You want to talk about a hungry dog? For 52 years, you've been starved in this championship. Everybody wonders why we're so mean. Everybody wonders why the Philadelphia Eagles aren't the nicest fans. If I don't eat breakfast, I'm pissed off. No one wanted us. No one liked this team. No analyst liked this team to win the Super Bowl, and nobody likes our fans. And you know what? Just heard one of the best chants this past day, and it's one of my favorite, and it's new, and I hope y'all learn it, because I'm about to drop it right now. You know what I gotta say to all those people that doubted us, to all those people that counted us out, and to everybody who said that we couldn't get it done? What my man Jay and John just said.
Idea what he said there at the end.
I'm uncomfortable with the whole thing that just went on there. It just makes me uncomfortable.
Why?
People attaching that hardcore to a sports team, and I don't want to dog the fans because it's great that you care so much, but there's got to be some separation between or a level of importance, understanding. It's just way over the top for me. I don't know.
But that's not a fan. That's a player.
Right, but like, you're talking to the fans.
Dude, they clearly used that to help them win the Super Bowl.
That's great. Use that underdog mentality.
By the way,
I'm uncomfortable. I'm sorry. It makes me uncomfortable.
The part at the beginning about what Mike Lombardi said earlier in the year, I mean, he killed the Doug Peterson. He basically said Doug Peterson could coach.
Right.
And that looked bad. Well, Mike Lombardi went on Twitter yesterday and said, I deserved what Jason Kelce said. He was right. I was wrong.
It's good
for him.
It's a great moment for Mike Lombardi. Like, great. I'm recognized. I got something wrong. The Eagles retweeted something that Nick Wright said, our buddy, saying how once Wentz went down, they had the least chance of anybody to come out of the NFC. They use all this
stuff. I thought it killed their chances, too. Good for them. I've been giving them all the credit in the world this week. They deserve it. Apparently, it's called a mummer suit.
That's what he was wearing?
What he was wearing.
The old mum suit?
You got to go look at this thing.
Mummers.
Oh, I'm looking.
Mummers parade down Broad Street every New Year's Day in colorful costumes and put on elaborate performances in front of City Hall and are a staple in Philadelphia culture. So that explains it.
Kelce is not wearing a captain patch next year. I'll lose all respect for the letter C in general. I mean, that was the epitome of what a captain should do at a parade.
Should just get rid of the letter C. Rid of it.
Maybe so.
25 letters.
Two-time Pro Bowler, Jason Kelce. He was a walk-on at the University of Cincinnati. Came, tried to be a running back. Made his way around all the way to center. Running back, fullback, switched the offensive line.
It's a great story.
Solid story. And now a great speech.
And the scouting report, man, on every single player on the team. Just bringing the heat.
That was awesome. Just running through the whole thing.
One of his offensive lineman teammates can't lay off the sauce.
That was...
Whoops.
Yeah.
Let that one slip.
That dude's going to end up in media all day.
Well, this next thing in buried headlines is that's our music that you're hearing right there. Not a good story.
Okay.
You see what the Boston Herald ran this morning?
Nope.
Oh, man. Boston Herald's Ron Borges wrote a story on Thursday night citing sources that quarterback Tom Brady was ready to sit out all of this offseason's OTAs unless he got a contract close to the one Jimmy Garoppolo signed with the San Francisco 49ers on Thursday.
Don't do it, Tom.
This is from CBS Boston. Unfortunately for the paper, that story has since been debunked in a number of different ways. The Herald took the story off of its website around 7:30 a.m. on Friday, but it was featured on the front and back cover of the latest printed edition of the newspaper. I mean, this was printed this morning. We are currently investigating this matter, the Herald said in a brief statement to WBZ-TV. Shortly after Borges' story was published, NBC Sports Boston's Tom E. Curran said that his sources called those claims, quote, off the reservation.
Oops.
And to give the story an even more odd turn, WEEI's Kirk and Callahan reported Friday morning that Borges got his information from a caller to their show pretending to be Brady's agent.
That'll happen.
And there's a screenshot of the conversation.
Oh boy.
The agent, the fake agent, texting, busy, busy night. Brady is prepared to sit out all offseason team activity unless he gets a new deal with upfront money similar to what Jimmy got. Borges wrote back, sounds like I need to write a column today, ? Agent replied, the fake agent, up to you, old friend. Shefty will probably have it by next week. Borges replied, do I have it now is the question. Think I should. The fake agent replying, you have it now. Borges, yes, I do. Writing as we speak. So this turns into a massive cover story in the Boston Herald. He got catfished. It wasn't his agent at all.
Come on, Ron Borges. You're better than that, buddy. I don't know you, but I believe you to be better than that.
Well, a couple of people have come to his defense. Like, congratulations to this whoever this jerk is. You just killed this guy's career. On the other end of it, though, apparently in the story, he said multiple sources. He used sources.
Ooh, so he lied. Went with the old lie.
He only had one. So, at minimum, there's some bad journalism here. Do feel for him a little bit.
You know where you don't get bad journalism? Adam Hoge's Bears blog. Sources are verified. Stories are researched, resourced, dominated.
Thanks, Carl.
Just throwing that out there. Just making sure we're all on the same page.
We're going to have to talk about Wednesday's guest next week. I thought I had Brady's agent booked, but maybe not.
Well, Brady and Brady's agent and I don't really get along.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
What happened?
I don't think he would come on the show. It's a long story.
What about fake Brady?
Because he's actually Jimmy Garoppolo's agent, too.
I give you credit for having a fight with an agent. I think that makes you cooler. Like, that's awesome. I know agents hate me. I'd love an agent to hate me.
Yeah.
Gotta have that relationship. You built a relationship, now you ruined it, but at least you built it.
Yeah.
Props to you.
I didn't ruin it, but that's fine.
He ruined it?
It was a misunderstanding that was definitely not my fault.
Okay.
And then I hate talking to agents in general, so I was just like, fine, dude.
Yeah. Onward and upward, baby.
We got to get a curling update in here.
Huge. Is it wrong to say it sounds like sex?
You should hear the other one we played yesterday. It's it does when you edit it all together like that. So the American duo of Matt and Rebecca Hamilton.
None of the sex that I ever have, by the way. I just imagine that's what you know that happens.
Thanks for clarifying that.
Yeah.
They're a brother-sister combo, which on the heels of what you just said is kind of awkward. they're 1-3. They're 1-3 before the opening ceremonies even started. They're better than this, man.
Okay.
They had Canada beat. They had Switzerland beat. Those are the best two teams, and they blew it. They got blown out by Korea last night.
Would you like me to fake some curling outrage?
Yes.
Damn it! I thought we had it, man. I love this curling. I went to try to go curling yesterday, Hogue.
You did?
Yeah. There's a bar on the west side.
Oh, I've been to that. That's not real curling.
Kaiser Tiger or something?
Yeah, I've been there. That's fake.
Yeah.
Fake curling.
It was
hashtag fake curling.
It had been researched or it had been booked by some gigantic party, and we hadn't properly ascertained that information, so we went anyway. Played some foosball. That's how it turned out.
So you didn't even do it. Hey, come to the Chicago Curling Club.
I imagine like Patty Vasquez would be at something like that, just dominating. That's what I would imagine.
Patty was there with us. We went curling last month at the Chicago Curling Club. The video is actually up today, I think, at WGNRadio.com.
Was I more jealous?
Was I invited?
I think you were.
I feel like I might have been invited.
I think you were invited and didn't show up.
I apologize.
I gave up a Bears Monday to go to that.
Now that is a minimal commitment, so let's be honest. Like, that's a... Never mind. That's a great day for you. I know you miss the Bears right now, though. I know you do.
Not really.
A little bit.
You got anything for Barrett Headlines?
No.
It's okay. It's 2 o'clock, yes. So you don't have to.
I would just throw in there that it was great to be here today with you. I loved it, and thank you. Is that a Barrett Headline?
No, that's a real headline. It's from the heart.
Oh. Nice.
I appreciate it. Mark Carman, have fun at Bulls T-Wolves tonight.
I will do that. And stay up, Blackhawks fans, as we move on out of here. The miracle is going to happen.
The miracle's happening?
Why not?
I think Chris Bowden's going to come on next week, do a whole show.
That'd be awesome.
We'll dive into that. Great week of shows. Appreciate you guys being here on Sports Central all week long. If you missed anything, iTunes, Google Play, the TuneIn app, it's all there for you. WGNRadio.com, the WGN Radio app as well. You can catch everything from this week. Good to be back here in Chicago. A little less crazier than what went down last week.
I miss Minneapolis.
It was fun.
Until Atlanta. You better have a table down there. That was awesome.
On to Atlanta.
Until Atlanta.
Are the Bears going to be playing in Atlanta?
Why not? Let's go. Trubisky for life.
All right. On that note, have a great weekend, everybody. Survive the snow. We'll talk to you next week.